Well, we feel very dependent upon the Lord this morning. We want the Lord to be glorified. I think about the last week was Easter, and we've been thinking for some time about His death and His resurrection and all that that meant. Jesus died for us so we can be saved. He died for us so we can be forgiven. He rose from the grave so we could have life. He had life within Himself, He said. And Jesus rose from the grave. And then He spent some time here visiting with those disciples of His that were so disillusioned when He had died and been put to death so cruelly. And Jesus appeared to them. He spoke to them. He told them His heart. He told them things that He wanted them to know. And you know, after He did that, what happened to Jesus? Is He still in the picture? Was He done? Is there any more? You know, at the end of the time there just before Pentecost, and Jesus had spoken to His disciples and talked to them and said a little bit about, you know, that He was going to give them power to go out into the world and preach the gospel and all those things. And then He just started rising, didn't He? And it says He was taken from them out of sight, and He just went up into the clouds. And then they looked down, and there was two men, was there? Or was there one? Two men standing there, and they said, as you saw Him go up, He's going to come back like that again. And so we know that, don't we? I want to think about what went on after He went up, because He told us a lot about what was going to go on in the future days after He went on back to heaven to be with God. And you know, I just want to think about this little thought this morning. It didn't stop with the tomb, and it didn't stop with the resurrection. Jesus went to sit on the right hand of the throne of God and to intercede for your needs and for my needs this morning. And so I want us to think a little bit about what Jesus did after He left here and what He is doing now, how that affects us. In Acts 7 and 55, we all know the story of Stephen, the first martyr, how that they put him to death. And at his death, they saw him and his face, I believe it says, as an angel. And Stephen, here they were angry at Stephen, and they had just put Jesus to death. And now the Holy Ghost had came, the Holy Spirit had came, began to work in men's lives in a wonderful way. And then we see they went right on to also put Stephen to death. And you know, it says that he looked up into heaven, and it says, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. You know, Stephen got a little picture. He saw into heaven. He saw the heavens open, and there was Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And you know, he was there. He went back. They saw him go up. They watched him, and they watched him. We've all seen we've seen balloons go up. That's not a very good description here. But we've seen that, and have you watched them? And I've tried to watch them until I could see them no more. And finally, I couldn't see it anymore. They watched him. And it must have been something, because they didn't have all those things back then that we have now. This was totally... And Jesus went up, and he went up to the throne of God. And you know what? The scripture tells us in Hebrews 7 and 25, it says, wherefore, He is able. So let me turn to that. Hebrews 7 and 25, it says, wherefore he is able also to save to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. You know, the Lord went up to the very throne of God, and it says there he ever liveth to make intercession for us. You know, this morning, that word intercession, what it means is, it means, says, I looked that up in the Greek, it says by extension to entreat in favor or against, to deal with, to make intercession. And so Jesus is there today, and he is entreating the Father for you and me, because we all have sinned against God, haven't we? We all sinned against God one time or other, maybe a bunch of times, and we don't have anything to come to God with. And the Lord died that we could be saved. And so you know what he's doing now? He's saying, Father, forgive them. He's entreating the Father for us. Help them to make it. Jesus is at the right hand of God. Stephen even saw it this morning. And so this morning, as we look into a little bit of what the Lord is doing, he had all of this in mind before he ever came. You know, Jesus, when he came, we said last week, he came and he knew before he ever came that he was going to give his life. That's what he came for. They didn't trap him into something and somehow put this great man to death and it was all by accident. Jesus came here because he came to pay a penalty for you and me. He came for that. He rose from the dead. He planned to rise from the dead before he ever came down here, because he was going to conquer some things. He was going to conquer death. He was going to conquer the grave. He was going to conquer the things that make men to fall, the sin that is in people's lives that they cannot rise over. Jesus had that power of life within himself. And he rose. He rose from the dead, a triumphant conqueror over all of those things. And so now he's went back to heaven and he is our intercessor. That means he is the one that is pleading for us. It is because of his blood that he shed. People that want to take the blood out of the picture don't understand that's the only hope we have, is that Christ shed his blood. And then he didn't stop there. He went on and he rose from the grave to be conqueror. But he didn't stop there. He went back to heaven, and now he's interceding for you and me. And he sees our need. He sees where we're at. He knows if we're lost. He knows if we've been saved. And he's there before God because of his blood. He has that place with the Lord this morning, looking for us to be saved, looking for us to make it, looking to give us more than we have now, looking to give us power that we can spend the rest of our life, the rest of our days, worshiping him and doing his will. The Lord has done that. He told us he was going back. He said, it's necessary that I go back. If I don't go back, he said, the Comforter will not come. You know, the Lord went back so that he could send the Comforter to us. And he sent some things down our way that will save our lives and that will change our lives. I want to look at different places. Matthew 26 and 64. Many wonderful scriptures along these lines. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Hasn't the Lord told us beforehand? Didn't he tell the disciples so many things? And yet So many of those things they never understood. They was asking him questions that it seems like they should have understood. And yet they didn't. They walked with the Lord for 3.5 years. And they still didn't understand many things. Why didn't they understand those things? Why, after walking with the Lord, did Peter not understand that when he came to the time that Christ was to be crucified and the Lord had plainly said, I'm going to be crucified. 2 days from now, I'm going to be crucified. That wasn't the only time he told them. But what did Peter do when the Lord came, when it came his time to be crucified? He drew his sword. He was ready to fight for the Lord. He was ready to do that, but Peter didn't understand. Peter didn't understand the Lord wanted him to suffer and give his life. He didn't understand that the Lord wanted Peter also to suffer and give his life for this thing. And so he told Peter before he died, he said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know, yeah, I love you. You know I love you. I've walked with you for 3.5 years. It don't say that he says that. But Peter, he had a lot there. Sure, Lord, feed my sheep, Peter. He asked him again, feed my sheep, Peter. He asked him again, there's some things he wanted. We heard this in ordinance service last week, didn't we? Kind of woke us up in our hearts and minds, didn't it? The Lord wanted to talk to Peter. He had some things for Peter to do. Peter, I want you to give your life too. I don't want you to fight for me. Put your sword away, Peter. That's not the way it's going to happen. I want you to give your life. I want you to be a sacrifice for my cause. In John 16 and 7, I kind of quoted this or mentioned this a while ago. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now see, the Lord did not stop when he was crucified, when he rose from the grave. He went on to do other things concerning us. And he went on to send the Comforter back. And in John 16, and let's move on down there to 12. Starting at 12, it says, I have yet many things to say unto you. And this is what I want us to, this is one of the things I hope the Lord can help us this morning to get a hold of and get our arms around. Jesus told these disciples, he said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, he told him, there's going to be a time when you can bear them. And he said, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I won't have to tell you over and over and over then. There's going to be some things revealed to you then that you just can't grasp right now. And so here Peter and the disciples were struggling and trying to understand, and Jesus trying to tell them over and over for 3.5 years, and they just couldn't understand. But the Lord had something else he was strongly desirous for them to have. And he said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. You know, Jesus was also God. You know, he said here very plainly, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine. You know, he's part of that Trinity, part of that Godhead. And Jesus said that everything that the Holy Spirit sees there, he said, He'll take of mine and he's going to show it unto you. Now, all these 3.5 years, Jesus had been with these disciples, and so many things they couldn't understand. And Jesus said, you can't bear them now. You're not going to be able to comprehend it yet. But I want to send you one that he'll help you to be able to comprehend it. This morning, I just want to encourage us that Jesus is not only still alive, but he went back and sent the Comforter to us. He went back and sent one to us that will help us with the things that we can't get on our own. These disciples walked with the Lord. And I want to think about a few of the things. You know, during feet washing, we read there in John the 13th chapter, how that Peter told the Lord, he said, you'll never wash my feet. But you know what Jesus had said to him? He said, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter, you're going to understand this, but right now you don't understand it. I know you don't understand it, but you're going to be able to understand it later. And you're going to, he went on to tell them from all through that they also would be a part of what he did. But you know, even though Jesus earnestly tried to tell them many things, he said in John 16, where we read a minute ago, I have many things to say unto you. And Jesus tried to tell them many things. What are some of the things he tried to tell them? I think about there he told Peter he was trying to show him about feet washing. Well, it went right over Peter's head there at first, I suppose. But Peter understood in time to come. He washed the disciples' feet. But you know, James and John, and this is in Luke 9, but it says there that some had not accepted the testimony of the Lord. And they resisted him. And you know what James and John said? They said, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? That was their take on it. Let's just get them out of the way. These heathens, they're not listening. Let's just get them. They didn't understand. They've been walking with the Lord and they still don't understand that he's not here. But you know what Jesus said to them? He said, he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You know, this morning, the Lord wanted them to understand that. Seemed like they couldn't understand that right then. They just, in the flesh, Peter wanted to defend the Lord. They wanted to call fire down from heaven. You know, two of the disciples came with their mother. And they approached the Lord. And they wanted to know, can we sit on your right hand? Their mother asked for them there. Can we sit on your right hand and your left hand in the kingdom? Now, they've been walking with the Lord, the King of glory. He's been telling them how that the King has humbled himself to be a servant. And they're wanting to be the biggest. They're wanting to be the greatest. They can't understand. And Jesus told them, he said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. You know, this morning, Peter, it was not that Peter was senseless, because I want to read a place over here in John 18 and 10 about Peter. These disciples were not dumb. They were just like you and me. And they needed something more than what they had. And when Jesus left here, He left here knowing that. He left here because of that. He could have come down here and set up a throne and reigned forever. And told people over and over what to do. And corrected them 1,000 times. He didn't do it that way, did He? He went back and He sent life to them. That's Matthew 16 and 13. It says here, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You know, this morning, this was when Peter was just walking with the Lord. He didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling within him to lead him, to guide him, to empower him. But he knew one thing. This is the Son of God. God had revealed that to him. Do you know, this morning, God will reveal to us things. And yet we have so many more things that need to be revealed. And Jesus told them, He said, "I have yet many things to say unto you." Do you know that the Lord corrected His disciples over and over? He helped them. He didn't get down on them for that, but He said He had something better that He wanted them to have. And I want to go on and look. You know, Peter, it says that in Matthew 26, it tells a little story about where he denied the Lord. And I'm sure that that was probably the low point of Simon Peter's life, because he knew that he was the Son of God. But when he was asked, knowing that it might cost him his life, and when he was accused, "You're one of them, you're a disciple, your speech betrays you," what did he say? He said here, "And after a while came unto him," well, I'll start in 69. "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, 'Thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied before them all, saying, 'I know not what thou sayest.' And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, 'This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, 'Surely thou art also one of them. Thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee.' Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not the man.' And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And he went out and wept bitterly." You know, not only did Peter and the disciples not understand everything, they were unempowered to do the work of God. They wanted Peter wanted to do it. He drew his sword and he was ready to fight. It's a lot easier to do something carnal than it is to lay our life down in service. It's a lot easier to fight. The man, the human man, can do that. Believe me, the wars happen every day, don't they? But Peter wasn't prepared for this. This was something totally different. Jesus just willingly laid down his life. And here Peter was called upon. He said, I don't know anything about it. In fact, he just cursed and swore. I don't even know the man. You know, the Lord had something better for Peter than that. The Lord, I believe, looked on him with compassion. Because before he even did this, he said, Peter, when you're converted, I want you to strengthen the brethren. I have some work for you to do, Peter. I don't want you to throw in the towel and walk off. I have some work for you to do. I'm going to empower you, Peter. Now, he didn't necessarily say these words like that. But this is what he was saying. I'm going to empower you, Peter, because I want you to be a witness for my cause. I want you to be able to stand up in the face of temptation and danger. And I want you to live for me. I want you to be a proper example of what I am. Do you know that Peter, after the Lord blessed him, I'll say that in a minute maybe. I want to go to Acts 1 first and read a few verses there from 3 to 8. I hope we're getting a little picture here. In a few minutes maybe it will come together well. But Lord, help us that we are like these disciples, folks. On our own, in our own understanding, we can be convinced. We can know. The Lord can have revealed some things to us. He is the Christ. I know this is truth. We can know many things and yet know so many things, so little of so many other things. And the Lord want to tell us those things. And other people that are living for God want to tell us those things. And yet, we can't understand. The Lord wants us to understand. And so he told us in Acts, the first chapter, starting at verse 3. It says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, I want us to realize what's being said here. Jesus spent 40 days there telling his disciples yet many more things. I wanted them to know. I want them to know. And so he told them, knowing that they couldn't comprehend all those things. Knowing that, he told them. And so he says, speaking of them, of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Now, what was this promise of the Father? He said, I'm going back, I'm going away, and I'm going to send a comforter to you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back to you to empower you and to comfort you and to cause you to be a witness. I'm going to do that for you. And so here were these people not understanding many things. But it says, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. The Lord knew something is good is fixing to happen. I'm going to ascend out of here, and I'm going to send them the promise that I gave them. And he said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They still didn't understand. You're going to set up your throne now? Are we fixing to, this is going to be pretty good. You're going to, at this time now, you're going to set up your kingdom? He told them these things, and they still didn't understand. And he said unto them, he just sidestepped it. He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power, in his own power, but ye shall receive power. Now I'm going to tell you something. He says, that's going to really mean something to you. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. It's the last thing he said. He said, I want you to wait. I want you to tarry. I want you to spend some time seeking me for the promise of the Father. Because he said, you're going to receive something with him. You're going to receive power to become witnesses to the uttermost part of the earth. Anywhere I send you. And these 12 disciples, these 11, they chose one more. They went out to the uttermost parts of the world. Thomas went to India. And they say that there was 12, I believe, congregations started down there under his ministry there. They took the gospel all around. You see the disciples going out. You see Paul. We have listing of where Paul went. One that God had chosen a little later. And we see Peter going out. And we see those that went down to Spain and different places in the world. And they took the gospel with power and authority. And no longer do you ever see Peter saying, I don't know him. Peter took the gospel in the face of adversaries. Thomas took the gospel and I believe they say he was burned inside of some kind of a cylinder or something, some kind of an idol or something like that. And Peter, they crucified him according to the best history they have. They crucified him, but you know what Peter said? I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. And so that's what they believe happened to Peter. He was crucified upside down. But Peter gave his life because there was a life-changing moment in his life that things changed dramatically. And I want to just bring this to us this morning. Jesus went back to heaven. He didn't go back to relax. Now they can be saved and they don't have any power. They don't have any authority. I'm going to keep on trying to encourage them. Jesus came to bring something to us that makes us overcomers. There's no way that we can be a proper example when we're slipping back into sin every little bit. Folks, the Lord wants to give us power and authority over the devil, over our own self, over what manifestations of self we have. God wants to give us power in our lives so that we can be a proper example, so people don't deny that Christ is who he is. I have a real feeling that our nation, if people were living godly lives, empowered by the Holy Ghost, I'm guessing this nation would be falling at their knees instead of opening themselves to every kind of idol and ungodly God that they import from other places. I believe that it would have an impact like that. And so this morning, I want to look at what happened on the day of Pentecost. Over in the second chapter of Acts, the first verse, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Why were they there in that one place? Because he told them to tarry, and they were in an upper room. It says there was approximately 120 of them there. And they were in that upper room seeking God and praying for the promise of the Father. They wanted that in their life. You know, that's how valuable that it was, that they wanted that promise. And so it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now this was a life-changing moment for them. When the Holy Ghost came into their life with power and authority, their life changed. And you know, this morning, I just want to encourage us. Jesus didn't come down here and die for us to keep living as sinners the rest of our life. He came, He died, He rose with life to give us life. He rose with power and authority, and it says He's sitting at the right hand of power. And He sent some of that power back to us this morning. And so, while the world, we don't look at them with disdain. We look at them with compassion. God has sent something better, folks. It is sin that ruins the world. It is sin that causes people to have wars. And it starts in their heart. And it starts in their home. And then it goes on to their nation and their places, their towns, wars. And God came to bring peace. And He went away and He sent back, the Prince of Peace sent back that part of the Trinity that empowers our life. And this morning, I want to encourage us, if we have to tarry before God, it is a work of faith where we believe in the Lord. We tarry before Him. Lord, I believe and I want You to empower my life. I want You to reveal to me the godly things that makes men and women proper witnesses of the Bible, of the Word of God. Lord, I want to be full of Your Holy Ghost. I want to go out as Peter did. I don't want to deny You anymore. I don't want to allow the enemy to cause me to just have my own mind about things. And I have all these thoughts. Here were these men walking with the Lord. And they had all their own thoughts. Many times they didn't understand. Shall we call fire down? And the Lord's saying, I didn't come to call fire down. I came to give my life for them. I want them to be saved. You know, there's many things the Lord, He said many things, didn't He? Many things He wants to reveal to our hearts and our lives. Many things. Much He wants to do through lives. I see potential here on every hand where God, if He can get a hold of lives and empower them with the gospel, with the life of Christ, with the truth. You know what it can do in a place, in our own home, in our families, in our towns, in our country, in the world? We don't know what it can do. With these 12 men, they went out, these 11, and then they chose another. They went out to all the world, and it changed the world. Paul went down there to in Europe or wherever it was there, and it says, here's the man that's turned the world upside down. You know what? God was working in his life, and God wants to work in our life too. And I pray, God, that all of us will spend some time on our face before the Lord. Lord, if we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, I want You to use my life. I want You to use it to the full. I don't want it to be caught up in the things of this life. I don't want it to be caught up in the sins of this life. I don't want it to fall back and lose what I have. Lord, I want to be able to use my life for You. And you know God wants it that way too. He died for it. He rose for it. And He went back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit for that very reason this morning. And so I want to look on down here in verse 6. It says, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now it says they spoke with other tongues. That's speaking of languages. It makes it very plain here. Every man heard them speak in their own language. And it goes on to list a whole list of languages that they heard them speak in. And yet, Peter was just speaking. And all these people heard them in his own language. It's not something, and the devil has so many ways to try to sidestep people. Some way, if you can get to speak in some something nobody can understand, that's really something. Folks, He came to cause us to speak the gospel. He came to cause us to be a witness to people. He didn't come for us to have some confusing something that people don't understand. The Lord came for us to speak forth the words of life. And it makes it very plain here what He brought. He brought the Holy Spirit that it might speak to other people. And then we move on down to verse 12. And it says, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Excuse me. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Folks, I just want to share these words with you this morning. What a changed man Peter was, and others. I want to look on down in verse 37. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Folks, this morning I just want to encourage us, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Repent and be sorry of the sins we've done, and change from that. Be baptized, and then go on and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we find at the end of this chapter that it says, "Then they that gladly received his word," verse 41, "were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Here the same vessel that just less than 2 months before said, "I don't know the man," and he cursed and he swore. And now we find God working through him with such power and anointing that there was 3,000 people got saved that day. And we thank God for that this morning. I just want to encourage us that the Lord wants to empower you and me. He came to do that. I want to read a place over here in Acts, the 8th chapter, because I know this is a place of confusion with many. But it says here, verse 12, "But when they believed, Philip went down to Samaria and preached the word of God to them." And it says, "But when they believed, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." You know, they got saved and they were baptized. Baptizing doesn't save us. But he said, repent. God forgives us when we repent. Then he says, be baptized. And when we're baptized, he accepts that. It's a place that we of obedience to the Lord. And it says, "They were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also." We'll drop on to the 14th verse. "Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." You know, this morning, it's a second work, folks. These people hadn't received the Holy Ghost. They were unempowered. They were sort of in the same situation that the apostles were before they received the Holy Ghost. And so when we find ourselves longing, Lord, I want to understand your ways. I want you to reveal yourself to me. Lord, I want power to be able to live right. I want to tell you, the Lord supplied all of that this morning. And so there's other scriptures we could go on with this morning, but I just maybe we'll pretty much leave it there. There was a covenant that was given to us, folks. And in Hebrews 8 and 7, I'll just say this quickly. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. We're talking about the second covenant this morning. The first covenant was with fault. And he said, if it had been faultless, there wouldn't have been any place for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He's talking about with his people. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. You know, the Lord wants all of us to know him. Now, he makes it plain that there's teachers to teach doctrine, to teach the ways of God more fully. But we should all know the Lord. And the Lord wants us to know him intimately. And I want to challenge us this morning that place, when you read on in the next chapter, it says, they shall all, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. In Hebrews 9, it talks about the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. That's 9 and 3 of Hebrews. But you know, the way into that second area in the tabernacle, in the temple, was not yet made during the old covenant. But the Lord made a new covenant. And he said, I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. And he opened that to all the peoples of the earth. And this morning, I want to give us all a call this morning. Oh, how the Lord wants to fill our lives. How he wants us to seek him until he does. How he wants our life to be full. I remember when I was seeking the Lord, I wanted it so bad. I wanted the Lord to empower my life, and I knew it wasn't so. And you know, I began to spend time alone with the Lord, fasting and praying. I don't say that to bring any credit, but I will tell you, my heart was longing. And when that blessed one came into my heart and life, it so changed me. That was before I was married, and it's been so ever since. And I thank God for that this morning. How the Lord wants to come into our life in a more full way. How the Lord wants to change who we are. He wants to give us a new name. Peter, he did so many things. You know, the Lord wanted to work in his life. The Lord wants to work in your life and mine too. It's not because many times Peter didn't want to do that, but he did because that's all the power he had. He didn't do the right thing, and he fell to it. I believe Peter could have not fallen to it, perhaps, if he would have heeded the words of the Lord there when he said, Peter, come and pray, and Peter slept. But you know, the Lord wants to empower us to put a whole new dimension in our life today. Lord, help us to seek your face until we know that your power reigns within my life, that I can be a witness, that my life can be a witness for you. Amen.